I'm apologize. I'm sorry. I was running behind. I had to go pick up Brother Campbell this morning, and we tried to get out the house on time. But as you all know, the devil is always busy, and he slowed us up, but he didn't stop us. So, with the grace of God, I still got enough time to bore y'all a little bit. So, anyhow, glad to see we got some visitors here today. Some people's faces I recognize. Some people's faces I haven't. Not sure I recognize, but anyway, good to see y'all. Okay, we have been studying with past lessons that Russ had in the last series, and two of the major questions that was constantly asked in those studies, in those lessons, were the lessons were about faith warriors, and what the two questions that was continuously asked were, what did they do, and what can we learn from them? Well, that got me to thinking about, as Christians, what are we doing, and what can someone learn from us? So that kind of prompted me a little bit to come with this lesson that I came up with this morning. We want to look at the story of Martha and Mary, and what the title I had behind this was distracted by good. Now this comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, and it tells a story about Mary and Martha. I'm going to read that passage, so we'll be a little familiar with what it says. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And it reads, 10:38. Okay. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, sometimes when we try to do good as Christians, we are always supposed to be on the ready to do good work and to do good for the Lord. We never know who's watching. And, of course, we welcome anyone and everyone to watch us because we want to set an example. But sometimes in doing good, we can be distracted, as so much so that we are distracted or so concerned about doing good that we are not certain or we missed the point that we could be doing better or what things is more important of what we are doing. Now, in this example about Mary and Martha, Martha had already invited Jesus to her home, and she knew that was a good thing. She wanted to show her hospitality, because in those days, they believed, which we should still believe in this time, that when you show hospitality to people, that you are doing good, and you may be entertaining angels. At that time, in the biblical time, they were told that in the Old Testament, that you never know that you may be entertaining angels. As we look at in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, it tells us that do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, Some have unwittingly entertained angels. And this is, as I said, is reference to the Old Testament, who at that time, they did entertain angels. But we in our time may entertain messengers from God. Now, you may say, well, that was during that time. Why should we worry about being so hospitable and we're not entertaining angels of the day because that don't happen? Well, number one, we don't know whether it happens or not. And number two, in those biblical times, they lived by the Ten Commandments. And we per se don't live by the Ten Commandments today, but would it do us harm or do us good to live by the Ten Commandments? So if you are living by the Ten Commandments or hold them in reference to your life and try to adhere to that today, I think it would be more beneficial to you as an individual than it would do harm. It wouldn't work against you when you come before judgment. But anyway, and by the way, feel free to make comments at any time. But anyway, Martha felt like she was doing a good work by inviting Jesus to her home, and she wanted to be hospitable. And she knew that along with Jesus coming, it would be his disciples, and we can assume that there probably were some other family members and maybe some neighbors that was there. And after she had him come there, she was busy, as most anybody would be, and getting everything set just right. Wanted everything to be just right and have everything laid out so that nobody, not so much as Jesus, but anybody else that was there, wouldn't criticize what she had prepared. And as anybody would assume, she felt like her sister Mary should be in there helping her. But Mary was with Jesus, and a common custom at that time was to sit at the master's feet to listen to the teachings that were being taught. That's what disciples did. That's what a lot of other people did that came around to listen to him. And so that was a custom, to sit at the feet. And she did that, and she was listening to what he had to say, because she figured in her heart that was more important, and that she had plenty of other time to go ahead and get everything else out to do the serving. Because as in today's time, I guess, we may go to a banquet or some type of occasion where we can see what's going on or be entertained and still be served and eat at the same time. But I think that at that particular time or in that era, they had what event was going on, as such as being taught, that was happening, and then it was a time for eating. So it wasn't a combination of the two, whereas in our day and time, we consider that a normal thing to do. And even so, we can be distracted today if you go to any type of event, and you may miss what's happening, whether it be a speaker, whether it be a group entertaining, whether they are doing whatever. Being served, you may place more emphasis on what you're getting, how hot it is, how cold it is, whether the dishes are clean or not, and not pay that much attention to what's been happening, or you may miss something that is happening. So that still can happen today. But anyway, this is what Mary felt that was most important to her, was to listen to what Jesus was saying. And so therefore, she was sitting there. Yes. I can't say for sure that it was odd or whether or not it wasn't customary, you know, a custom thing for her to be there. I believe that in the synagogues, women wasn't, they might have been there, but they wasn't up front and as close. They probably were in the background, more or less, and the men were probably closer in the front area. That's in the synagogues. If they weren't in the synagogues, as we studied before, a lot of times they met at the riverbank, you know, which was a common place, or some other place that they could meet where people gathered at. I can't say for sure that it was customary that women could be right there. But I know, I believe anyway, that God wanted his word to be delivered to everybody. And so I'm sure they weren't turned away. And being the fact that Martha had invited Jesus to her house, then she could have been right up front, or she could have been in the background, she could have been anywhere. I don't think anybody would have raised any opposition to her because she was in there simply because she was Martha's sister. It doesn't make mention of any other women, you know, being right there at his feet. Actually, it doesn't say in that scripture that exactly who was in the house. You know, we just assume that the disciples, well, we know the disciples followed the meal question. We assume that they were there, and we assume that the neighbors was there and possibly some of her friends. But I don't know of any part or any portion of scripture that mentions it was customary for women not to be up front. Does anybody else know anything scripturally that would answer her question? Does that give you? Yes.
Normally it was custom that the women did all the preparation for the guests that were in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when somebody like that came, and I'm assuming especially when Jesus came, that the neighbors, probably the whole area would come together. We don't know how young Mary was. She,
mm-hmm. Okay, I agree with that. Sometimes the pressures that people feel from coming to church, they have to be a certain way or act a certain way, and it's more relaxed to be at somebody's house, and they might prefer to do that. As you were talking, another thought came to mind also that we know, I'm sorry I can't recall exactly what scripture it is, but we do know that it was another occasion that Jesus was speaking and the little children came to him and the disciples wanted to keep them back. And he told them, no, let the little children come. Suffer them to come unto me too, because he was telling the people that they have to be as children. So it was good for the children to come and listen. So I don't think it was a bad thing. I don't know whether it was customary or not, but one thing we do know, that Jesus didn't object to it. So that was a good lesson that, you know, we can take from that, you know, it's okay for women at that time, and it's still okay for women of the day to still come and hear the word, and you have freedom to sit wherever you want to sit, you know, to listen to him. But it's a good question. Yeah, we do. We're very good. The main point that Jesus was trying to get over to Martha and to us also today is the fact that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and that should take that should be the most important thing that we consider, regardless of what else that you would be involved in. Whatever you had to do at that time, regardless if it's at an event where you're going to be served, eating, or in what capacity you are in to serve, still do it in the manner that you're doing it with all righteousness to God, because that's what's most important if you seek God's righteousness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it tells us that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to us. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us that for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that is now and of that which is to come. The discipline in godliness affects both the present and the future of life for the believer, because this presents the aspect of obedience of today and the purpose of life. And in the future, it is greater because of the rewards that we will receive when we get to heaven. So what we can take from that is, if you're seeking to do righteousness at all times and put that first and foremost in your life, you not only will be rewarded in present day's time, but God looks favorable upon you, and you will still be rewarded when you get in the life hereafter, which that is what we're all striving to get to. So it's profitable more so than just for our physical beings in this life. It's profitable also for our eternal life of what we strive to get to. The next thing we want to look at is ourselves, as Judy mentioned, in our life. How do we prioritize the things that we do, and do we get distracted from our main goals? Can we be distracted by our family, as in my mother or father, or our children or our sisters and brothers? We should not let that distract us from doing what is right, or seeking God's righteousness and keeping it first and foremost in our lives. Sometimes we can go behind what a family member does as far as going along with what they're doing, because they are our family member. We don't want to stand up and correct them or let them know that what they may be involved in is not good for them, or not right, or not what God wants, because of it's our family member. In that aspect, we are being distracted from doing good, because we're thinking too much of the family member than we are what God wants us to do, which we touched on that in past lessons also, as in whether or not or how we go about trying to spread the word of God to people we come in contact with. And as we studied in past lessons, that we usually would come in contact with family members first and foremost before we come in contact with friends, even though we may have other people that we associate with in the workplace, and for kids that go to school, neighbors. We associate with them every day, but we still come in contact more so with family members than we do with them. And sometimes we find it even harder to say things to family members than we do to someone that we are closely associated with. So it's at this point, it's just to get you to kind of take a look at how does it affect you and would it distract you from saying things. And I grant you, we always know that even though you may try to enlighten a family member about their action, they might not want to hear it, the same as anyone else that you come in contact with. Yes. Yes, that's the point I think that is made, also the point that is trying to be brought out. As you said, we can be easily distracted because of the fact that it's family. And you're not the only one. Many people have experienced that, you know, because their family is in town, they, you know, well, I'm not going to church tonight or this evening or today, which might be Sunday, instead of telling the family, look, we're going to church. Come on, let's go with us. You know, they, in many cases, they might go. It's been an occasion where we've been out of town to visit friends, and because we decided we're going to find a Church of Christ to go to, and so they went along with us, you know, so that's a good thing, you know. But as we're supposed to set the example, we can be distracted so very easily. So that's one of the points we're trying to bring out, is the fact that it's not that it's intentional, but it can be easily, because the devil works 24/7 to distract us. And it's not like he's going to jump up and say, hey, I want you to do this, you know. He's going to come at you real subtle and so smooth and so easy that you don't even realize until, the day was Sunday, I should have went to church, you know. But by the time He's already did his work. You know, so that's what we're trying to get. The point we're trying to bring out is to realize that it is so easy to be distracted that way. Even though you intend to do good, you can be distracted by good. Also, in Mary's desire for doing what was right was what kept her in the place that she was in, at Jesus' feet, listening to him, rather than to be back with her sister, trying to prepare to get everything out. And that's what we have to try to do, is to stay on track, to be diligent, as you said, also to weigh your priorities, to look at the situation, to see what is more important. Am I doing this the right way? Is this what God wants me to do? If you ask yourself these questions, sometimes it's not a matter of how you feel at that particular time. You know, it can happen and you're not thinking about it. But when you look at situations and you think it's good, and you just give yourself a double thought and say, man, should I be doing this? Is this okay? Is this what God wants? You know? And if you don't get a funny feeling or a question mark in your mind, or, you know, you're comfortable, then it must be okay. But God's going to give you some kind of sign if you're not doing what you should be doing. He's going to let you know some kind of way. We already know that the devil is going to throw something, a stumbling block in your way to make you go the wrong way. And that's going to seem very easy. So that's one sign that we might can take a look at. If it's that easy, or if it seems that good, maybe you ought to give it a second thought. It's just like you hear people say about getting something free or you're getting a good deal. If it's all that good, maybe you better take a second thought about it, because it can't be all that good. You know, there's got to be a catch in there somewhere. So that is one of the things that can maybe trigger your attention or your thought. If we are disciplined enough to make proper choices, we will find ourselves like Mary, and we'll be free from anxiety and be praised by the Lord. But if we find ourselves not doing that, then we find ourselves being anxious, being troubled, being worried. Did I get this right? Did I got everything in place? Is this going to work out good? What are they going to think about me? You know, how's everybody going to react? If you got all those many questions, then maybe there's something wrong with that picture, you know. But that's just a thought. And to question yourself, there's nothing wrong with questioning yourself and taking a double thought or a double look to make sure you're doing what's right. As I said, if you're doing what's right, God is going to be behind you 100%. If you're not, then you should feel some sort of way that it's a problem, and he will give you some type of sign that you can go off of. Seek first the will of God, and everything falls into place. Become distracted by even that which is good. Anxiety and problems will be our lot in life if we don't. Are there any comments or questions?
Mm-hmm. Come over and talk to you.
agree. We had lessons on that also when we were discussing some things that could hinder us from spreading the word of God to people that we don't know, and as well as our family members also. But what you just spoke of, I think, was one of the things that really hinder people to a good extent, because as human, we want to make a big show. We want to be pleasing and acceptable to everybody, and we want, it's only natural to want to put your best out, you know, so people see you at your best. But I think people, in general, they want to make it so much bigger and so much grander so that it'll be something that somebody else can remember. We went to so-and-so, how, oh, they had this, they had that, it was this, and be talked about in a good light. And if they were, somebody might come there and say, oh, yeah, we went to their house and the paint was coming off the wall. You know, as you said, they worry about what people are gonna say about them, so, and they're not up to par, so that's why that hinders us from spreading the word, which is not what we're supposed to do, and that's what we should be doing. Right.
That's not the Christian. But that's
the ones that's not Christians. What at that time we were talking about spreading the word to people that are not Christian. And if you invite them to your house, or you know, have them to come in and you have a conversation with them, what they think of you, what they think of what you have, you don't have this, you don't have that, you know. And that's what hinders some people from reaching out to God. I mean, reaching out to other people that are not Christian. But as you said, people that are Christian, no, they're not, because they ain't like mine with you anyway.
I just want to come over and talk to you.
Yeah. Yes. That's good. That's true. One other thing I'd like to bring to the light, also, like as I said in the beginning, from our past studies, that was one thing that made me get to thinking that as a Christian, what am I doing and what would somebody take from me? One thing that I try to stress as far as when I invite people to church is this, first of all, to stress to them, they don't have to dress up to come. Because I think that is another thing that hinders other people that are not Christian from coming to church, because they see Christians as we are so dignified, we are so righteous, we are so dressed up. Not so much as that's the way that we are, but that's the way that they see us, because people that are not Christians don't just look at Church of Christ. They look at everybody that said that they go to church. And if they see somebody over here that may go to a Baptist church and they got rings on every finger and they got on three-piece suits and women got on big hats and everything is matching, and then they see somebody else go to church, to another type of church, and they may have a dolly on their head and they got on these long dresses to the floor and they're walking like they're carrying a book on their head or something. And, you know, they're looking at, well, if I go to church, I got to be like these people. And first of all, they don't want to change their lifestyle, so they don't want to go out of their way or come out of their comfort zone to even come and hear what's being said. So that's one thing I try to stress to people, first of all, that you can come, like Jesus said, come as you are. And you don't have to dress up as long as you have on something that's decent. And hopefully, you know, if it's a young man, I tell him, you know, you have to have your pants up, you know. But, you know, it's just that much is just within yourself that you should want to look presentable. But as far as being dressing like any of us that are here, we're not here for that, because Jesus is not looking at what you wear, and he's looking at what's in your heart. And we invite you to come to hear the word. We're glad you're here, but we don't care what you wear, you know. So if once a person gets past that, I think that kind of lessens the stress on them that, okay, maybe I'll come one Sunday. Whereas first they said, I'm not coming that straight up. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't even want to hear what you got to say. So that kind of lifts one weight off of them, or one restraint off them, that may open the door for them to be able to come. Any other comments? Again, I apologize for being late, but I appreciate all your comments and your interest. Your I appreciate y'all watching and listening. So that's my lesson for today, and I hope you got something out of it. And thank you very much.